Accession number 10648, Reel 5.
Mr. Thomas Milburn, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born? Mr. Thomas Milburn, Reel 1. You were in the 6th Border Regiment.
That's right.
And could you tell me of how your first landing at Gallipoli, you were involved in the Suvla Bay offensive?
Mr. George Peake, Reel 5. How did you get on with the other ranks in the trenches? Did you
have any
special
champion.
Did you have any special friends?
Oh, yes.
Who do you remember?
I have a few special friends.
Who in particular from this time?
Wally, a fellow named Wally. I don't know whether he's alive now or not. I've heard him from, I think I left him over there. I think I left him in Turkey. And Mac Marnus, he was blew up. He got blown up by a mine. We used to mine, you know.
I'll come to that, because that was after you were wounded.
Yeah. Oh, yes, after I was wounded.
What else? Who else? Anybody else?
All those powers of mine, they all got killed, I think. Or wounded, I don't know.
When you got a special friend, did it upset you a lot when they were killed or wounded?
No, not really. You carried on, you expected it. You carried on, but I felt a bit lonely when my pal Wally, Jack Wally, I got killed. You see, when I came back from Malta to Gallipoli, or Alexandria to Gallipoli, I expected to see all my pals still. When I got back, there was all new men, all reinforcements. I didn't know any of them.
I'll come back to that, because what about the NCOs, the sergeants? What were they like?
Oh, they were all right. Very good. Very good indeed. In fact, I never saw them.
Much of them. Didn't they live with you in the line, the sergeants?
Line? They were just like we were. They stood as much chance as us.
But you say you didn't see much of the sergeants in the line. I mean, no. You said they lived there, but you didn't see them. Could you?
No, they were just like we were. And Sergeant Pullman, he went over, and he was calling for water. And we went over, one of our two of ours went to give him water, but the Turks shot them. They went over, and they came over, so we had to shoot them. He had to die, Pullman. He died in Pullman.
But you said that in the line you didn't see much of your sergeants. That's what I don't understand.
Well, the sergeant just... There's four sergeants, you know. There's no more than four. And they're a sergeant over each section. Well, we never saw much of them. As a matter of fact, I only saw one section. And that was number one section, my own section. I fought with them, and I didn't know what any part of the battalion was. As a matter of fact, in the landing, I think I only remember A Company, my company, going over the top, or part of it. The others were had gone somewhere else to land. There was only my company must have landed just there.
So your section was like your world as far as you were concerned.
My section
and
was
then
my...
above that you knew the company, but the battalion was...
Everything outside of my section I didn't know.
What about your officer? Did you see much of your officers? Or officer?
Oh, there were, yes. Our officer, one of the officers had his walking stick and a bayonet tied onto his walking stick. Because... in the uniform, or if they had a sword and revolvers, they had those days, the Turks knew them, who they were. And, of course, they killed them right away. Every officer got killed, or wounded, nearly everyone. Wasn't after being an officer those days.
What did you think of your officers?
Man?
What did you think of your officers? Did you like them? Did you respect them?
All of them, yeah. Yes, I liked them all.
How did they treat you? Did they treat you well or badly?
Yes, yes, really, really, really indeed.
What was a daily routine like then? From when you got, between this time, say, early July, from when you, did you have stand, from stand two in the morning? What was, could you explain stand two? What did you do?
Oh, we just relaxed, laying down.
At stand
two? I remember one, when I was lying down or sat down, resting as much as you can.
Well, that's not stand two, is it? You don't relax at stand two.
Oh, no.
Could you start from stand two?
At stand two, you're waiting, watching for them.
Would everybody be looking over?
Everybody. Oh, yes. There was nobody resting though then, stand two, every morning.
And what happened after
stand two? At night.
What happened after stand two in the morning? Would you have any breakfast or...?
Yes, we had little bits of breakfast then. And we lazed about talking and waiting in case they attacked or in case we had to attack. Of course, we never knew whether we were going to attack or whether they were going to attack us.
Did you have sentries? Was there a system of sentries? A rota?
No, there was no rotas, as I remember, not in the firing line or anywhere.
So who acted as sentry?
And?
Who acted as sentry? Who acted as sentry, then, if there was no rota?
All of us. We were all watching. We were all watching. We all had a look now and again.
And what sort of thing would you talk about? And what kind of thing?
Oh, I don't know. Anything. If we got letters, we'd talk about them. Or just talk about our families and all that, you know. But I just don't know what he talked about. Those days, we'd talk about anything.
Would you have any actual jobs to do during the day?
No.
Would you have a chance to get to sleep at all?
Well, you could have a bit of a nod. Somebody, you saw somebody was watching, you know. I remember one night I was sat down just like this now I am, at the bottom of the trench, right at the very bottom. And my rifle and bayonet gleaming in the moonlight was there. And I felt reassured when I saw that bayonet gleaming like that. And what a fellow was watching out. He was near the firing step. He could just get his head over. You didn't put your head over too much. And there was a way you had to put your head over. You didn't look quick and down again. Well, you'd have to be very, very quick. You put it up slow. So they wouldn't notice there was anything there, then down again. You can get it, and you've got a picture of what was happening then.
During the day, would you have to do any work on the trench, you know, repairing shell damage, or...?
Oh, yes, if anything wanted doing, we used to do it. We weren't told, we'd do it for our own protection.
What about at night? What jobs would you have to do at night?
Nothing.
You didn't
you
have
lie
wiring.
Down, have as much rest as you could get. At night.
Were there any wiring parties or ration parties or raids
or
patrols?
No. Not like in not like in France. No.
So you just stayed in your trench?
We just stayed in the trench waiting for them coming over. I never went on a raid. But of course they raided us. But that was after...
After you were wounded?
After I was wounded.
Was there much... how much fire was there before you were wounded? How much small arms fire and artillery fire?
Oh, quite a lot, but I don't think we had... I don't think we had enough artillery. We had two machine guns, but they were old converted machine guns from the ships. There were what they call Vickers Maxim gun with a reverse lock action, and we had to learn that. And that was before the 4th of June, I'd been up there, up that, and in that cave, I was in there learning the machine guns then, how to work all the different kinds of machine guns. So that practically all the company could use a machine gun if they came to it.
You didn't actually have one yourself, or you weren't on a machine gun team, but you knew how to use it.
Oh, yeah, that's true. If we came to an enemy machine gun, that might be different. But and on our machine gun that was abandoned or anything like that, we could use it right away because we'd know how.
Now, before you were wounded, are there any more stories you remember before you were wounded? On the 15th of July, I think you said that was. Do you remember anything else happening to you before that we haven't covered? Was there any dysentery in the battalion?
Dysentery? I think there was here and there, but I didn't get it.
Were there any other health problems besides the sores? You mentioned the sores.
No, not that I know. Oh, a British cruiser captured an Austrian merchant ship, and it had a big score of pipes on it and Boar's Head tobacco, and they caught that and sent that over. So right away I said, right, I'm having one of these. I was given a pipe and a large tin of tobacco, and I smoked with that, and matches.
Was that when you started smoking? Because you said you didn't smoke when you first joined.
I didn't smoke then, no, I didn't smoke. That's when I started smoking. And I felt terrible after it. And I had to go to see the MO. And he said, you've got yellow jaundice, castor oil. So I had some castor oil. And I got better after that. Got all right after that. But I had yellow jaundice, he said.
And that was all he treated you with, castor oil?
Castor oil.
Did you take to smoking?
Wicked stuff.
Did you take to smoking after that? After your first?
Yeah.
Did you carry on smoking?
No, I don't think so. No, I chucked it then.
What made you try to start?
Well, with there being such a lot of tobacco and plenty of pipes, I thought I'd have a do with it. And, of course, it was my undoing.
Did most people smoke?
Yeah. Yes, most of them smoked.
Did you get a rum ration?
A rum, no. I never only had one rum ration all the time I was out. One rum ration, and I made a mess of it.
When was that?
Well, that was in Belgium or France.
Okay. What about, how did you actually come to be wounded then? How did you come to be wounded?
That was in France. That was
no,
in
the
Belgium.
First time. You were wounded in Gallipoli.
Oh, the first time. Oh, we were walking together, me, McManus, and Wally, Jack Wally, my pals, you know. But we were walking in twos, and McManus was just in front, and me and Wally were together.
Were you in a communication trench?
No, we were in the open, but there was a lot of snipers knocking about. We were in the open, and we had to walk in twos. We didn't walk in a bunch, with a good space in between the next two. And we came along, so a sniper must have selected me for a victim. And I think the doc on the hospital ship said, another 16th of an inch, he said, and you'd have been a goner.
Could you just explain where you were wounded? Where the sniper, the bullet hit you?
Could I explain?
Explain for the tape. Where was it?
We were going to the firing line, ready for the 7th of August. I think we were going there for that time.
And where were
not
you?
Knowing that we were going on reserve instead of going to attack. We just went. We just went on in twos like that, and I got it, and it went down the line.
Where were you hit?
Ear.
The back of the head.
Back of my ear. Yeah, just behind the ear, and it came just lower down. It was straight through a clean bullet.
And that was the 17th of July, you told me, the first
time. That was the 17th of... Yes, about the 15th of July.
15th of July, 15th that's right.
Sorry,
that's what you
said. And I got that. And
what happened when you were hit? Did it knock you down?
No. I think I swore a bit. Who did that? Put my hand there, and when I pulled my hand away from my head, full of blood. Blood running down my, the back of my neck. So Wally and Mac rushed back, and Wally, and they got my field dressing out and put the field dressing on and tied it up tight. And the stretcher bearers came up and said, "Oh, we'll take you down now, you can't go up there with that." So they took me down. And I think they were, I'd been shot and I was killed. So I don't know.
So they took you down where?
Somebody took me down to the dressing station.
And where was that
and
at?
A bit lower down. And then the next day, I had to go. They took me down to the shore, to the beach.
Which one?
One at V Beach.
V?
It was V Beach, because they could fire from the other side of the narrows on there, you see. And while we were there, I lay down next to a horse soldier. I'm saying a horse soldier. It'd be going to the artillery, you know. And he was telling me he was an Irishman, and he had an Ulsterman. He had a rifle behind the door. And he said, "When I get back, if I get back." So that night, later on that night, the shells began to come over. Tons of them, a proper shelling it was, from Achibaba, from
Eshirigani.
Oh, they set the dump on fire. They set the ammunition dump on fire. So they said, "Let them move out of here." So they took us all out, and we went into the water's edge. We weren't far off the water's edge. Went to the water's edge, and they took us on a lighter, a small boat of some sort, and they took us up to a destroyer. We were plunked in this kind of a sling, a big sling. And the sling pulled up onto this destroyer and deposited us on the deck. Of course, when we got out, that was walking case. I had to help this Ulsterman off, and my shown bunks. And that was at night. In the morning, we were examined by the doctor and the matron or the nurse. And she, I remember, she had a kind of a probe, and she shoved the probe right through my head. And she said, "You can't go back with this."
Had it actually fractured your skull? Had it gone through your skull, or was it just in the fleshy part?
That what?
Had it actually gone through the bone, or was it through
the
flesh?
Gone through the bone, too. Oh, she said, that's when they told me that. Had it been a little bit more in, you'd have had it. So, they took me then by destroyer, with the others on, you know, with the others on board as well. We went to where the hospital ship was. At Lemnos. So we boarded the hospital ship and went off, then to Malta.
Now, had you been given any treatment other than just bandages, or was there
no treatment. All they did was put a good big bandage on my head. I was swathed in bandages when I got there. And when we got there, I felt like getting back. because they were all young nurses there, about 18 and 19 years of age, and just my age. And I'm sure my backside was showing. Well, they'd ripped it open, you know, with machine gun bullets on the 4th of June. Anyway, they had cups of tea for us, and we arrived there in style, right at the water's edge. There was a platform there. We stepped on this platform, and I've got my puggery helmet, my helmet with no top on it. I'm trying to cover my backside up with it, with no top on it. Anyway, they took it off me, and they took me inside the hospital then. The funny thing about it was, when we got in, we had to have inoculation for lockjaw, our name for it. And I had it all right. It's over. It's just on your stomach at the top there, you know. This fella said, "I'm a married man. You can't do that to me." Now come on, pull his pajamas down and. Give him an inoculation. Hey, you're all right now. I don't know whether he had a bullet in his leg or a broken leg or what. Something wrong with one leg. He couldn't walk. He was leaning on me all the time.
And how were you feeling? Were you in pain or anything with your head?
Oh, I wasn't feeling too bad. Didn't hurt or anything like that. I felt pretty good.
Besides the embarrassment, you know, about your trousers, were you pleased to be away from Gallipoli, away from the firing?
Oh, aye. Of course I was. I was pleased about there, especially when the conditions were so bad there and so good in the hospital. One little incident happened while I was there, and that was the governor's daughter, Governor of Malta's daughter, came round, and she said, "You were in the 8th left?" I said, "Yes." She said, "You know your colonel?" I said, "Yes, Colonel Fallows." "Well, you know he got killed." "Yes." "How did he get killed?" "Well," I said, "I wasn't there, I wasn't a witness to that. I know where he was, but," I said, "he was shouting, 'My lads are splendid,' and I heard he got a nose cap in the head." Well, she heard that he was shot by his own men, but that wasn't true. They thought the world of him. He was very strict on the desert training. But when he came to action on Gallipoli, he was champion. He was a fine doctor, and that's the rumour that went. It is only a rumour that, but of course it was wrong.
What was life like in the hospital?
Oh, very good indeed. They said they brought a mandolin in. Anybody play a mandolin? So I could play the mandolin, and. Right, they gave it to me and I played it. I went on, sat down on the bed in the middle of the ward, and the soldiers all came crowding round, singing, and well, I played for them. I remember that quite vividly.
Did you get out into Malta at all? Were you allowed out?
Oh, yes. We were taken out in a coach to City Vic and to one place. I forget now where it was, I forget the name of it. Anyway, we went there, the other side of the island. It was just a blue lake, you know, looked beautiful. And we got into a marquee there, a big marquee. And in it was the Maoris. And one chap, a Londoner, and I was pushed in there. And along the grapes, along the side of the road, you could feel the grapes, the grapevines. And going down there, you could, I then put me head under water. But, oh, the sea was beautiful and warm and nice. And a shark, a dead shark came in. But the water was so very clear. You could see the crab, they looked like blue. Not red, blue. In the bottom, big, many big ones crawling along. But they reckon that just there, the tide was always about up to your shoulders and no higher. Never came any deeper there. And that just suited me, you know, having my head full of bandages.
How long
and were you... That was then. Well, I went to Malta about 4 years ago. And I was surprised when I saw it. It was a big city. All skyscrapers and all sorts.
How long were you at Malta in the hospital? You got there in mid to late...
15th of July.
Yeah, after that.
I don't know the date when I came out. I'm only guessing it was 3 weeks.
Three weeks. So that'd be in mid-ish
August. I was home. That was at... I was back on Gallipoli. The boat took us to Alexandria and deposited us there for a week. And then from there we went to Gallipoli. And of course, when I got back to Gallipoli, it was all different men. None of my mates were there.
They'd been involved in the attack on the 7th of August, had they?
Yeah. They all got killed. I'd have been killed with them, I think, if I'd stuck with them, but not saved my life.
Did you go back to A company, or were you put in another company?
Went back to the same section, same company and everything.
Did it upset you that everyone had gone? You mentioned it a bit earlier, but...
I felt the lot of them, quite a lot, because they'd always been with me, you see.
Now, the section would be... There'd be new drafts in and such. How did you get on with the new men? Because they weren't the original.
Oh, yes, ones. Quite all right. Quite all right.
Were they as good soldiers, the new people?
I suppose they were. I suppose I didn't know the prowess of them. I know what I was were like.
And they were still in the same part of the line, were they? Around the nullah?
I think they were in... I couldn't tell you, really. But I think they were in the same part of the line. Because there was someone who wanted burying. And it wasn't very, very far away from where they got the trench. And they asked me, being the only one left of my company, would I volunteer to go and bury him? So I said, yes. So two or three more came along, and they dug out a shallow, narrow trench so they could keep under cover while we got to the body. And the Scots, the Royal Scots, were in the line and told not to fire, to keep their shots down. I'm looking toward the Turkish trenches in, as we did. There was a big fire, it seemed miles away, and they told me that was the fire of the Turks, but it burning a lot of the dead. I don't know. But we got to an officer named Lodge. His name was Lieutenant Lodge.
How long had he been out there? How long had he been out there, the body?
Burying him.
How long had the body been out there?
Oh, I've been there since June the 4th. He was killed next to me, with his sword in one hand and his revolver in the other. And he ran up towards the gully, near the top of the gully, ran towards me. So he was lying... with his head and cap comforter over his face. So I think somebody had moved him.
So you got to the body,
Pardon?
What did you do when you got to the body?
Oh, I buried him. We dug a deep hole.